Well, it is. It's hard to believe it's already the last session. This has been a good weekend for me, hopefully for you. I wish I could sit down with more of you and have some good conversations. I've had a few, but just with a weekend and so many people, it's kind of hard to do that. But my prayer is that something that was shared this weekend can be a benefit to you in your race. And that's you can have some practical things to take with you. So the last session today, are you running to finish? A word I think of here is endurance. Will you have the endurance to run through the finish line? We talked about the finish line being either the moment you take your last breath or the moment of Christ's second coming. None of us knows when that is. It might be tomorrow. And so a reminder that I've given throughout some of the sessions is now is the time to begin running. If you're not running hard, now is the time to begin, to prepare, to, because if you don't do the little things now, you may find yourself at the end of your race in a place you don't want to be. But are you running to finish? I had to think of some examples in the scripture, people who started out well but finished poorly. And there's more than what I have here. Maybe you'll think of some on your own. But I had to think of one of the examples I thought of was Gideon. If you remember the story of Gideon, God calls him. He's going to use Gideon to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. And Gideon goes through a time of uncertainty, you might say, probably fear. He has his army, and God says, "You have too many men. So get rid of some," and he gets rid of some, and "You still have too many men. Get rid of some more." Gets down to 300 men, and we can, in looking at the story, you can see God, it wants to be sure that there's no mistaking who really is getting the victory here. It is God. But anyway, Gideon starts out well. He delivers Israel. But as the story goes along, he makes this golden ephod, it says, and it ends up causing Israel to stumble into idolatry. Another person who started well and didn't seem to finish well is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. He knew a lot, but he did not do the best at following his wisdom. And so he starts out, he builds the temple, he's a devoted worshiper of God, but then he marries many pagan wives and falls into idolatry. And one that's sobering to me in the New Testament, and all we have is just this short phrase about him. Paul is writing and he says, "Demas has left me, having loved this present world." So we can assume Demas was a fellow laborer at one point with Paul. But we have this one sentence about him. "He has left me, having loved this present world." Key word there is present world. Don't dwell on the present. There's something more beyond this life. What a sad decision Demas made. At some point in his race, he decided he wanted this present world more than the world to come. So maybe you are here today with regrets about how you have been running. Rejoice that you have an opportunity to make changes and adjustments that will enable you to finish strong. Maybe you have stumbled out of the gate. You may still finish strong. So just an encouragement there. So this last session, I just want to give five keys to enduring to the end, to running, five keys to be able to run to the finish. And the passage I want to read is once again Hebrews 12. And I'm going to be reading from verse 1 down to verse 1 through verse 15 of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. How shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. So I'm going to draw from some of these verses for the keys to enduring to the end. The first key is fixing your eyes on Jesus, or looking to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. I think of the verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. God is faithful to do his part. Will I surrender? Will I follow in obedience? So some of these other points are connected to Jesus' example for how he finished his race. But yeah, a question I would ask you is, how was Jesus able to finish his course that the Father had for him? Well, it says here that he looked to the joy, the future joy that lay ahead. So the second key for enduring to the end is look to the joy ahead. So heaven, and seeing Jesus. So Jesus looked ahead to the joy, the coming day when he would be glorified along with his brothers and sisters with him. Did you realize you've been adopted into the family of God if you are born again? Jesus is your older brother. Other examples of people who looked ahead to the reward. It talks about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. It said, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And it says, because he looked to the reward. Abraham was a stranger and a pilgrim, and he says he was looking, or he waited for that city built above. So looking ahead to the joy that is ahead. So do you live with an eternal perspective? How often do you think about heaven? How often do you think about eternity? Remember, if you put a pen dot on this back wall, even you all that are really close, you're probably not going to see it. And yet that's an illustration that fails to even capture the magnitude of eternity. If the dot is your life on this present earth, going on infinitely in either direction, my mind's not big enough. Eternity past, eternity future, there's no comparison. Do we think about that reality? Do we think about the reward of heaven? Perfect rest. But when I think of heaven, I almost made it without my father coming out fully. If you know my dad can be emotional. And I get it honestly. But the most amazing thing about heaven will be seeing the face of Jesus. Thinking of my grandfather as well. He's about to. And in a way, I'm a little jealous. But bear with me. Sorry. But do you long for that? Are you running your race with that in mind, that reality? That's ahead. It's going to come. Romans 8:18 says that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. John 14, Jesus says to the disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Heaven's going to be unimaginable. So you can use your imagination. Imagine the most beautiful place you've ever seen, or it's not even close. It's not even close. And I don't think it's going to be a hymn sing for eternity. Anyway, you can disagree with me on that, but we're going to be doing a lot of things. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus is going to be with us. I imagine just fellowshipping, doing things. I mean, anyway. You let your imagination run wild and then remind yourself you haven't even scratched the surface of the joy, the rest, the peace, the complete rest in the presence of God that is waiting for those who are faithful. So Jesus was looking ahead to this joy. Did you know you are his joy? You are a part of his joy when he presents you faultless before his Father one day. So he was looking ahead to that, and that helped him endure the cross. The future joy enabled Christ to go to the cross. And remember, in his humanness, he did not want the cross. He wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane to the point of sweating blood. And yet he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And what I love about that story in the garden, what happens after Jesus has finished praying? Does someone know or remember? Angels came, an angel came and ministered unto him or strengthened him. I believe that's a picture of when we see Jesus wrestling in the garden. I don't know how to wrap my mind around how Jesus is fully God, fully man. I know it is true. But I think in the garden, his wrestling, you see a picture of that's, it's revealing his humanness. And God the Father sent an angel to minister and strengthen Jesus to go forward and to go to the cross. You talked about, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." The reason you can fear is because God, if you are relying on him, if you are in Christ, no matter what you face, he will strengthen you. He doesn't strengthen you for tomorrow now, but he will be faithful to give you strength in the moments. Persecution. We don't know what lies ahead, but we have a good shepherd. And if God sent an angel to Jesus to strengthen him, he will also give strength to us. It also talks in here, I might skip ahead here. The third key to enduring to the end. I'm jumping out of this passage for this one, but I'm going to call it abide in Christ. Abide in Christ, the third key for enduring to the end, running your race to finish. John 15 talks about the vine and the branches. You all are probably familiar with the passage where Jesus says that he is the true vine, we are the branches. I believe that just as Jesus is exhorting us to be connected to him in chapter 15 of John with the vine and the branches analogy, this is what he illustrated in his earthly life, or this is how he lived in his earthly life between him and the Father. Jesus maintained his connection to the Father. Some scriptures would that go along with this. John 14, 9 through 11. He said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." John 5:19. "Then answered Jesus and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." In verse 30 of John chapter 5, "I can of mine own self do nothing." This is Jesus. "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that hath sent me." We also know that Jesus often went off by himself to pray to the Father. It's recorded enough in the Gospels that Jesus went off by himself to pray to the Father. It's recorded enough that we know it was a regular habit. And this is Jesus. It's like, well, he's God. Does he need to do that? Once again, I don't understand how this all works, but Jesus was fully God, fully man. In his humanness, he needed that connection to the Father. And that's a prayer I have for my own life. Let the Holy Spirit that I could say, you know, the things I'm doing, they're not flowing from myself. The Holy Spirit is living through me. Jesus is living through me. That's what we should aspire to. But I want you to get into your minds, if Jesus, being fully God, fully man, needed that connection, and he maintained that connection to the Father, as John 15 says, we need to stay connected to the vine. We need to maintain that connection with Christ. And out of that connection will flow fruit. You're not going to bear fruit. It says, without him, we can do nothing. And it's his will that we bear much fruit. And I think sometimes we are trying to obey, or we're trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and we just need to come back to the reality, I need to abide in Christ. You don't obey so that, okay, I'm doing good, I'm obeying, now I can abide in Christ. You abide in Christ, and then that produces the willingness, the desire to obey. So, abide in Christ. Point four for finishing strong. Heed God's discipline. It talks here in Hebrews, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. And it's not pleasant. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it, but I'm thankful for it. That we have a God who pursues us when we get off course and calls us back. Please heed the Spirit. Heed God's discipline. Don't despise it. Rejoice that God is dealing with you as a child. And remember the end results. It says, when you are trained by God's discipline, it will yield the peaceful fruits of righteousness. And the last thing, some of this is repetitious, I understand, but the last key to running through to the finish is practice close brotherhood. So this connects back to last session. If I'm going to finish my race well, I need that connect. I need to look to the joy ahead. I need to look to Jesus, look to the joy ahead, look to, I'm already getting mixed up. Look to the joy ahead. Heed God's discipline. I don't see where point three is. Maybe I didn't have a point three. That's possible. But practice close brotherhood or discipleship. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In Hebrews 12, what the passage we read says, lift up the drooping hands, strengthen the feeble knees. I think of Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Make straight paths for your feet. That connects back to session one, direction versus intention. Make sure that you are within the boundaries of God's race. Strive for peace with everyone. And it also says, strive for holiness, without which no man shall see God. Then Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Are we looking diligently? Are we looking out for each other, I guess, is the challenge there. Are you aware of someone who is struggling in their race? And can you come alongside in this practicing close brotherhood, come alongside and help them? Or are we just going to continue in our personal race? And then when people fall away, we say, I could have kind of seen that coming. That's convicting to me. When people, you know, if I knew someone was struggling, and then they throw it away, they turn away from God, and I say, I could have seen that coming. Well, why didn't I do something? Practice close brotherhood. Look out for those who are hurting, and reach out to them. Throw them a line, a lifeline. So in conclusion, if you will endure to the end, you must look to Jesus. You must look to the joy ahead. Live with an eternal perspective. Heaven is going to be amazing. There's no suffering here that... Yeah, they're not even comparable. Heed his discipline and practice close brotherhood. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have gone and prepared a place for us. Lord, it's our desire to be faithful, to run the race, to obtain the prize. We want to run in a way that we may win, that we may reach our destination. Lord, help us. We may be sitting here now and we have these good intentions. We desire these things. Lord, by your Spirit, strengthen us, show us, guide us in the things, the choices we need to make sure that our direction is sure, that it is leading to you, that it is within the paths of righteousness that are talked about in the scriptures. Lord, I pray that you would raise up a generation of young people that are practicing close brotherhood, that are being known, willing to be known, to pursue holiness, to recognize that the purpose of the gospel is not sin management, but it is victory. That victory is possible in you, and that we have a job to do. You have given us a call to reach out, to share the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would just help each of us to live these things that we've been talking about this weekend. Give strength. I pray against the enemy and his attempts to come in and pluck away the things that you have spoken by your Spirit to these young people, to all of us. Just help us in our race of faith, Lord. We need you, and our desire is to serve you fully. In Jesus' name, amen.